of a classified position. It's just simply done that it's attached to the governor's office.
It's an attempt by the manager and administration to remove people from collective bargaining. We all know that's benefits are there, and that's what it is. That's the only reason.
Yeah, we, apparently Darlene's done some work in this area, and on the post-secondary education commission, the limited entry commission, and the petroleum engineers, there are approximately 300 people who are just like all the rest of the classified people and are not in collective bargaining. I mean, I can understand management not wanting them in, but I'm just saying that's impossible.
Yeah, part of the problem is that legislation like that is considered perhaps, for one reason or another, you're thinking in terms of you just want perhaps the commission, the executive director, or whatever, in the partially exempt service, but you throw the whole commission into it. And, yeah, I'll be glad to get into that whole area.
Yeah, that's 300 people, so.
I'd like to say that I will be very honest with you and express some of the concerns that I have heard, not just within our agency, but among other groups of people that I have talked to, people similarly situated as our agency is in the partially exempt service. And there is a certain amount of trepidation on the part of those persons presently employed that should those individuals be transferred into the classified system, that their jobs would be in jeopardy. And I think that, you know, that is a very real fear that needs to be considered. And if such legislation would be considered, or such proposed legislation, I would urge you to give some thought to that, because I think that is a problem. You might have an employee who's been serving successfully in that position for 3 years or more, who is still a probationary employee, and who, at the time of the reclassification of that position, would no longer be able to be considered because of lack of educational criteria or whatever, or a combination of training and experience. Now, certainly one expects the qualifications for the position to match the people who are presently serving in that position, or to have some sort of relationship. But that is a fear that I think ought to be recognized. It occurred to me this morning when I listened to the discussion about the permanent employee who is no longer probationary and who gets a promotion into another permanent position. As it is now, in the partially exempt service, you have no return rights to the old position. If you accept a promotion, then you are, well, partially exempt people are, practically speaking, probationary employees throughout their service.
I just might comment that there's nothing in the collective bargaining statute that precludes the organization of partially exempt folks.
Right.
So you can't sign that card, you see.
Go, you gave it
go
back
for it. It might be a shock in case of a change of administration to find out that the whole office of the governor is organized in that. But under that law, it's certainly a possibility.
That I enjoy.
Well, surely from what I understand from the executive, they are also concerned about having those agencies which properly do not belong in the office of the governor realigned to some other place, unless I've misunderstood what the executive is saying.
Just one final comment. For the most part, I agree with Ken and Pat Ken has not recently got religion. This has been his position for at least a couple years, but Pat's recently got religion on this negotiations. And so I agree that for the most part, and really probably there are certain problems which, see, we've always faced them because we represent the vast majority of these, we've always been met with, well, we're just not going to negotiate on that, and the only way to get changes, like in the area of temporaries, was to come to the legislature. At a, you know, we're reaching the point that I also don't believe, and I really don't believe in getting, coming and trying to get two bites out of the apple, because in the end it's counterproductive to your credibility and things like that. So, I think that the majority of these things should be solved in collective bargaining, and both parties are moving to a position where that can be done, but that couldn't be done in the past. For example, in temporaries, I always collect these tapes to be used. I always go and get copies of tapes, to be used, and I've got as recent as this last, not this January, but this last, a year ago January, where the Deputy Commissioner of Administration and the Assistant AG who was arguing the case are saying, you can't negotiate on this, it's precluded by statute. Temporaries cannot have health benefits. Look at Title 3925. So, I can play that tape. So what I'm saying is we're getting to the point where everybody's getting it out on the record, and very shortly, the legislature will not have to deal with these kinds of things. But that has not been the case, and because whatever it is, 7 out of every 9 employees were in this big general government unit, or 6 out of 9, concessions were there was just, we're not going to talk about that, because it affected pretty much a large part of the workforce. So now these things are coming out, and very soon, I agree, especially after the talks last night in the area of the certification testing subcommittee, that if we've negotiated personnel, the merit system into collective bargaining agreement with certain established criteria that have to be met, equal pay for equal work and those kinds of things, eventually it will be handled through collective bargaining, and the legislature won't, and I don't think should, consider efforts to get something through the legislature that wasn't gotten in collective bargaining.
Just a couple comments. I guess the fear that I have in this commission, this committee, subcommittee, and this commission dealing in the areas that some of us have strong feelings about are negotiable areas or collective bargaining issues jeopardizes the credibility of the commission in any of its legislation, and that's my concern. I don't think that this commission should fill the gaps for whatever reason that were created, that were not gained at the tables. In the area of labor relations, normally the unit representing the largest group of people is the most effective. But at the same time, I think the issue of temporary employees would not be an issue that APA or 71 or any other organization could successfully take to the bricks or go to hit the street on, go on a strike over. So I can understand Mr. Murphy's concerns. At the same time, I want to safeguard what this commission's trying to do and protect the sanctity of collective bargaining. And my fear is that if we come up with those kinds of things from this committee to the legislature, that the divisiveness between the organizations will even be more. The legislature, being political individuals, will themselves then be more divided. And as the end result is we're going to waste a lot of money and effort and forget about the good things the commission can do. I guess with that, I'll just say that I will do my best to try to prevent that. I may not succeed, but that is my concern. I've heard many legislators say it, and I have to agree with Pat on a lot of committee meetings that we've been at where administration says, well, that's not negotiable. Turn right back around, and that political football then goes back to the bargaining table. Or they go to the legislature and say it's negotiable, and they go back to the bargaining table and say it's not. I've been through that ring with them as well as anybody. I've been dealing with the state since 1975, and it's always been that. I think they're coming around because I think we're all getting a little bit more proficient in our operations. But I sure hate to see the work of the committee in the committee. commission end up going nowhere. And I think I can say, since I am one of the vice presidents of the state AFL-CIO, that the state AFL-CIO would oppose these kinds of issues that have in the past. Local 71 hasn't asked for any legislation this year. We're going to, but that's in the area of the school employee and the municipal employee. And certainly we're going to support supplemental appropriations to fund our cost of living and things of that nature. But I read from the legislators, they don't want any more of that two bites of the apple. I think that's going to jeopardize collective bargaining. And that's my concerns.
As a born-again negotiator, I'd like to, I'd like some reconsideration of the 120-day limit on temporary hires in view of the sermons and so forth.
Try
the
preacher.
You know, my feeling is that I was trying to be nice to Ken, but Ken won't let me. Well, he loves it. Anybody will be able to, I think, damage the work of the commission if they choose to do that.
That's what I think you're doing.
I really need to get downstairs and listen to sermons, whatever. If nobody has anything else.
Got the boats running anyway.
But we'll have the draft back and you can deal with 120 days next time if you'd like. Is there anything else that anybody would like to take up? Okay, then I guess we're
on for 1:30.
I think we will go on at 1:30 with Professor Couturier if nobody else. And
where?
That's in the courtroom A, the court building.
Is that the one off the lobby?
Yeah.
That's where there's no smoking.
There's no smoking, no drinking.